Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity we have just to open your word. Father, you know my prayers that you'll move me out of the way, that you will have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Father, I pray that you would teach me that others may be taught. This is your word, and there is nothing better. Father, I ask you now that all of our hearts and minds would be drawn to you. This is what the church and the ministry is all about, bringing glory to your name. May it be done through the book of Matthew. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. We have already studied the genealogies. We have started on the family of Jesus Christ. When you think about the family of Jesus, God himself having a family on earth, half brothers and half sisters. How would you like to grow up in the home with someone that's perfect? I mean, that could throw a wrench in anybody else's lifestyle. You know what I mean? I wouldn't know how to grow up with someone that never, ever disobeyed. The family. Who do you think you are? God? Yeah? That can be pretty tough. How about being a parent of the one you need to submit to? That could be a little dilemma there. We're going to talk about these things as we go through the family of Jesus Christ. And then we're going to discuss about the family of Christ. The church. How are we to act in the family towards someone that's perfect? Living with those around us that isn't. How are we to respond to the family? Our primary family, our secondary family, our extended family as a church. Jesus Christ did some tremendous things by coming to earth in the flesh. He went from the penthouse to the outhouse, coming here. He went from riches of all glory to rags. The greatest picture of humility in all the world. And we at times have a tremendous problem with humbling ourselves to think of others in the family as being more important than ourselves. Whether it is our primary family or our secondary families, our extended family, and our family in the church. How do we line up with this life of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, be ye perfect as I am perfect? If you do not know where the strength comes from, it can be a very frustrating, schizophrenic life. Amen? We got into his life last week and we dealt a lot in his life about the negatives of his family. Can I get a witness? Some of y'all looking at me, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm not going to agree to you. I know what you're talking about. Because you ask trick questions. We talked about the bad things in his family. We talked about Christ's family getting ready to go through a divorce. The first problem they had as a family was facing divorce. So we talked about the negative last week, and we're really going to hit it when we get to chapter 19 of the book of Matthew. But we wanted to lay the foundation out last week. If you missed that on divorce, please get the tape. Some of you may be thanking God that you missed that. But we have technology. So we'd like for you to get that tape on divorce and lay the foundation down. Now we want to concentrate on the good aspects of the family of Christ. Because you know what I am amazed about? I'm amazed at how many of us can only concentrate on the bad things in our family. Now, maybe that went by y'all. Let me slow down a little bit. Woo. We have a tendency as a people to think more on the negative than what God is doing good in our lives. You can have 15 good things happening in your life, and your family will dominate their thinking on the negative. Wait a minute. Thank you. Your wife can say 10 things that's good. One thing that's bad about you. What do you remember? What do you remember? You concentrate on the bad. It's tell that people told me out of the great philosophical thinking that it takes 10 data boys to override one you jerk. Is that true? Takes 10 data boys, or in some cases, data girl, to override one you jerk. There's been relationships that has been together for years end up breaking up over one incident. There are families that hadn't spoken to each other in years over one incident, and they can't even remember the incident. They just know something was wrong. I know I don't like you for some reason, but evidently it was good enough to implant in my mind and not go away. So we wanted to get that negative about Jesus' family and the foundation for where we stand as a church out of the way. Now we want to walk into the positive aspect of what it means to have God set his son in the middle of a family. And be excited about it. Verse 18, Matthew 1. Today, we're going to try to get out of chapter 1. Can I get an amen on that? Because we've been in chapter 1 for a while, y'all. What's that, since August? Long enough? Well, in that case, 3 more weeks in chapter 1. I can't believe y'all being negative about chapter 1 when I just got through talking about being negative. Woo! Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way. When his mother, Mary, were espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, for those of you that are south of the border, it is Jesus Christos. Spoken like a true black man from the south. Jesus, the name, Christ, the title, later on in this section, Emmanuel, the characteristic. God lays out Jesus Christ's birth. How can God be born? He is the eternal past, the eternal future, the ever-present present. That's why there's no time to God. Everything is now to God. Can you imagine if everything was now to you and I, and that's how God has asked us to live for Him? He says, I don't want you to walk on the past. I don't want you to walk because of the future. I want you to walk with me and trust me and walk with me because of the present. There is no human being on earth that does not have enough faith to 100% walk with God right now. There is nothing that is happening right now in the presence that God has not given you the exact amount of faith to make great decisions for Him right now. The problem is that we're constantly trying to make decisions based off of yesterday. We're constantly trying to make decisions based off the what ifs of tomorrow instead of walking with God right now, because that's the only thing He's promised you. The birth, stepping out of eternity. God, I mean, do you understand the magnificence of this statement? Stepping out of everlasting and everlasting and limiting Himself to time for you and I. Why would He create you and I in the first place? Knowing He's going to have to go through all of this to deal with you and I. You know, people go, well, He was lonely. There's a lot of married people that wish they could experience loneliness. Again, I can't hear you. Oh, I just can't wait to get married. You get married? Oh. Marriage will mess your mind up so bad you can't even remember how it was to be single. Why would He create us knowing this was going to happen? The rejection of His Son that He will send to make right with the people He has created for no reason other than there was no better plan than to create man. You see, if that was a better plan, because God does everything perfectly, if there was any other way, if it was better, if it was more perfect, how can you be more perfect? I don't know, but it's a good phrase to use, I guess. If it was more perfect for God just to stay alone as the Trinity with angels, He would have done it. This is the perfect plan. Man, male and female, He made man. But then He had to answer that fall of man. And if there was any other way better than sending His Son in the flesh to die, He would have done it. He does everything best. Perfect. I don't have to think, why did God do it? I know why God created you and I, because that was the perfect plan. Any other plan wouldn't have done God and shown God's perfectness. Isn't that great to think about? I heard scholars and theologians and Bible teachers and seminary trained and professors of high learning discuss this. It all boils down to one thing. There is no better plan than to create man. Keep reading, Pastor. Keep reading. And to answer man, we've already gone through the genealogies. He had to be born by a virgin, because sin goes through the sperm of man, not the egg of a woman. Anyone ever thought why Eve had to sin first? And even though she sinned first, why sin falls on man? People say, well, it's because he was responsible. That sounds good to me. But it's more. It wasn't that he was responsible, because the only thing he had to say was, God, look, I was out of the house. You know how a woman's house is. She does what she wants in the house. I didn't sin with her. You made her. You can make me a nun just like her. See you, Eve. I got some more ribs. I'm doing pretty well without this one. Make me even on both sides, Lord. Like some ladies do. Cut their ribs off to get their waist smaller. Isn't that amazing? Ooh, my goodness. Stop eating. Don't hurt half as much. I like me. Leave everything in there. I got an extra one. That's all he had to do, folks. Did you know that? That's all he had to do, was reject what she asked him to do. But it wasn't the best plan. That's what we got to come back to. The reason why sin fall on man is because woman was deceived. Man rebelled knowingly. And God cursed man that evil will fall on his seed. Then responsibility and the struggle with leadership took place in that curse. Jesus, though, I mean, are you fluent with me? Jesus, given to us by God in a family. Now, listen to what I'm saying. How important do you think the family is to God? How lightly do we take the family today? God said the greatest institution in all the world is the family, not what the family can accomplish. I've heard so many women, and I think at times it's because of us men. But you know how many women I hear put down being home moms, stay-at-home moms? You know how many women would think that is poor? I got all this education. And the worst thing I do is to carry on a conversation with a gaga goo goo. Can't hear you. Pastor, you just don't understand. It takes two salaries to live today. Liar! It takes two salaries to live the lifestyle you've chosen today. Wow. Single moms, I pray for you. You are high on my scale of honor. High. You know how much work it takes to work and be both parents? It's hard for two. Can I get a witness? Your stock goes high in my book, Single Moms, Single Dads. You know how hard it is to be a single dad? Being a single mom is tough, but you got some natural tendencies to mother. A single dad, you guys, your stock is higher in my book. But I'm going to tell you something. Moms, Jesus was given to a woman. Mom! 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 Mama, mama, mama! You don't hear Dad! Dad, 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 because they know after a while, quack, ah! It hurts to call dad too much. Even if you're in college. If you're in college, you call home, who do you hope answer the phone? Jesus was given to a woman to eliminate sin in his whole being and to produce a family. God, first order of business was Adam and Eve. A family. And some of you are saying, well, I'm not a family. I'm by myself. I'm single. I'll give you a secret. You are family. And you can choose to be lonely if you want to and think on the negative. And I want to give you a secret. Never forget this. Your family is not necessarily where your mom and dad is. Not necessarily where your brothers and sisters are. It's not necessarily where your husband and wife is. Your family is the one that will love you, take you in, and take a bullet for you. That's your family. God calls us as a church to be a family. This is pretty good stuff, isn't it? I mean, this is just awesome stuff. Family. Jesus, that name. What does that name mean? The birth of Jesus Christ. It correctly spoken, it should be Jesus the Christ. See, Jesus means salvation of God. That's what Jesus means. Jehovah saves. I'm going to give you the birth of God saving you. And the birth of answered sin. The answer to your eternal destination. The birth of the essence of God. You see, when you say the birth of Jesus Christ, that's eons of information in that little phrase. There's doctrinal truth beyond your wildest dream in that phrase. And Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah. And if you put it, Jesus the Christ or Jesus Christ, you put it together, and what it means is not a response to what's going wrong. Why do does the world use? Christ. When things go wrong, stomp your toe, Jesus. Break a dish, Christ Almighty. Why is that? Have you ever thought of that? They don't people going around hit their toe and go, oh, Buddha. They don't hit their finger and go, oh, Mohammed has the power. They don't break a dish and go, oh, Joseph Smith. It's Christ. Jesus. I can't believe this. Profanity, they think. Profanity, you think. It's just answer to prayer. Every tongue will confess. Every knee will bow. And even though you may not want to acknowledge who he is, God, I put you on a strain and you'll call his name out. You know why? Because there's power in the name of Christ. It is absent of sin, and there is no power in Buddha, Mohammed, or Joseph Smith. And there's no power in Mary either. Hail Mary, Son of God. Where is that coming from? No power in that name. It's in the one he sent. The Jehovah save send one. The anointed Messiah of all people. There's no other. And he put him in a family. So the husband, who can always get a little jealous of the relationship between children and mothers. It's just something about moms and children, isn't it? Amen. Thank you. And then there's Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. We talked about that. Was minded to put her away privately. For we know that adultery was punishable by death. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. And we've already established, even though there was no sexual union, no oneness yet to bring them together, for God does not see any out after sexual union. He still called Mary Joseph's wife. And he says, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. We have already established that the truth of the matter is this. Whether you want to believe the pastor, that's your choice. Can I get a witness? Whether you want to believe the Sunday school teachers and the elders of the church, that's your choice. Whether you want to believe your mate, that is your choice. Whether you want to believe someone that is trying to exert authority over you, that's your choice. But if you don't trust anybody else, you better trust the word of God. Amen. And then be obedient to the word of God on how to deal with everybody else. Amen. Oh, 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 woo. No one else is joining me? So, if people didn't know me, they could think I'm kind of schizophrenic, couldn't they? It doesn't matter how I feel about you. Decision is, that I'm going to obey God and love you. Amen. I may not like you, but I will love you. Because what I don't like is not you. It's what you probably do. And I am man enough to be controlled by God's Spirit. Well, I can separate the two. Now, when you are dealt with, you may not be able to separate the two. Mark, should I move on, bro? Okay, I should move on. We'll leave that to the God squad. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Jehovah, save, the salvation of God, for he shall save his people from their sins. God opened heaven and says, all that have believed in me up to this time that I will send a Messiah, you're saved. And all that will believe that I have sent a Savior after you come, Jesus, shall be saved. Those before you come, Jesus, shall be saved by faith that the Messiah will come. Those that will be saved after you come will be saved through faith that you have come. Both ways, whether under the law or under grace, you are saved by marvelous faith. This is a family. Woo! I have a wonderful family. Starting with my wife, my children, my friends, my staff. One thing I was thinking about yesterday is, who am I really committed to? Just going through all the seminars and teachings. Who am I committed to? What does that commitment take? What does it mean? Anyone that I consider family, I'm loyal to. Very loyal. But I expect the same loyalty back. Whoo! How important is the family? Very, very, very important. God said it's the relationship that he sent his son to be in. Look at this. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying. Now check this out, check this out, check this out. All of this was done so that the scripture, so that the prophecy, so that the word of God, so that the promise made by God can be what? Fulfilled. What are you talking about? Oh, my land, many, many, many moons ago. This is a church for all people. And I know some of you totally miss that phrase of drawing in all people. Many, many moons ago. Before there was ever thought that a miracle like this could happen, God says something to an unfaithful lineage in David's house. Would you like to see that? Because God is, I mean, guys, if it's written, you can bank on it. Can't hear you. If it's written, you can what? If God said it, you can know it's true. So if God said it, you can what? It's hard to get folks to follow in unison. if you're not listening. If God said it, you know it's true. So if God said it, you know what? We better move on. Turn with me into the book of Isaiah. It's nothing like being able to hear a Hebrew say Isaiah. It just rolls off the tongue. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, I want you to watch this. Verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, and Ahaz is a bad boy. And we're not talking about the bad that's good. We're talking about east side bad. Amen. He's a pitiful example of a leader and a man. Moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, ask a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the heights above. But Ahaz said, I would not ask, neither will I test the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? You can wear a man down, Ahaz. You can get him tired of you. But you cannot wear God down. Let me tell you something, Ahaz, who is in the house of David. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Back over to Matthew chapter 1. If he is in the house of David, the lineage that we have read in Matthew 1 should have a name in it that matches the one in Isaiah chapter 7 to fulfill the prophecy out of Isaiah 7 into Matthew 1. Look at verse 6. And Jesse begot David, the king, and David, the king, begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba. And Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Is that close? Oh, it's close. Is it him? Ooh, let's just impose our thoughts upon the scriptures here and say, that's close enough. No? Oh, we got to keep going. Okay. And Asa begot Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begot Jerem. Jerem begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham, and Jotham begot Ahaz, the house of David. Scripture. The best commentary on the Bible is what? The Bible. The Bible will always prove the Bible. Check this out. Back over, prophecy, verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child. Does that sound familiar? And shall bring forth a son. Does that sound familiar? And they shall call his name Emmanuel. Does that sound familiar? Which being interpreted is God with us. Now why then, if the prophets say his name would be Emmanuel, they named him Jesus? Did they disobey scripture? Not if you understand what it means. We'll break it down again here. Watch this. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Through the word of God, the angel bid him, and took unto him his wife, and knew not her. This is the biblical no. Amen. and knew not her. This is the biblical no. Had no intercourse with her, even though she was his wife until after the birth of Jesus Christ. Why then do we see that he called his name Jesus in that verse is reiterated? Again, you got to remember this. One, Jesus means his name, Jehovah saves. Two, it means Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. And Emmanuel, this is what it does. Bring it back into the prophecy. Reiterate it. One of the most important things in the world. And that is at the very beginning of the book of Matthew, the writer wants you to know that God came in a bod. And he is on the earth. And he is with us. And he wants to tell you through the book of Matthew what it means to have God with us.